The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guests on Off the Shelf are from Booz Allen Hamilton. We're going to be talking about DOD's audits, the audit process, what it means to be audited DOD, why DOD is being audited, and what are the sort of strategic programmatic goals out of coming out of the improved financial management of the department. From Booz Allen Hamilton today, we have Jay Dodd. Jay is vice president. He leads Booz Allen Hamilton's Army business sector, focusing on headquarters and military operations. We also have Richard Ressler. Richard is a principal leading Booz Allen Hamilton's Army business, focusing also on the headquarters, emphasis on strategy, resources, and programs. And Rob Stevens. Rob is a principal at Booz Allen Hamilton, leading and focusing on the Navy's business operations. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation. It's not every day that a show gets to talk about audits. It's one of the most painful. When we do talk about audits, we're always talking to the lawyers. Or CPAs who are coming in and talking about it from a government contractor's perspective, the pain that they go through. But here we're talking about the stewardship of the taxpayers' money, how to improve business operations of the department. So, Jay, I'm going to start with you. So, really, what does it mean for DOD to be audited?
Well, first let me say that there's been a law in the book since 1990, 27 years ago, called the Chief Financial Officers Act of 1990, that mandated that the Department of Defense, as well as all the other departments and agencies in the federal government, pass an audit. They would be audited, and they're all supposed to have a clean audit opinion. Well, 27 years later, DOD still hasn't passed an audit. I mean, they've worked at it really hard, but that just hasn't been a top priority for them. I mean, of course, readiness is its top priority. And so 27 years later, the department is under the mandate of the National Defense Authorization Act of 2010 that states that they're going to face fully audited financial statements by the end of last month, 30 September 2017. So DOD is facing the audit. They've been getting ready for a long time, and now they're going to have an audit. And audit ready means that the department, once they are audit ready and once they're able to show that they passed an audit, it's going to mean that they strengthen their internal controls, improve their financial practices and processes, so that the public and the nation has confidence that the information in DOD's financial statements can withstand an audit by an independent auditor.
Okay, so as I understand it, right, what you've described and what little I know about it, I try to stay away from audits whenever I can.
Right.
No offense, guys. But audit ready means that they're capable of being audited. That doesn't necessarily mean they have to have a clean audit at this point. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right. Are you seeing progress at the department in this regards? It seems like there has been some sense that there's been some improvement.
There's been progress. The department has been getting ready for the audit for many years. And of note, it's new comptroller David Norquist, who was the comptroller of DHS before he became the comptroller recently of the Department of Defense. He actually passed the audit. You know, he was the leader. He was the comptroller of DHS when they passed their audit. So he comes with a successful record. And what he's bringing to the department is he's saying, okay, we spent a lot of time getting audit ready. Now it's time for us to really start getting the audits so that we can, you know, have findings, recommendations for improvement, and then start fixing those findings and then sustaining the fix of those findings so that we are progressively getting better.
Okay. Can you walk a little bit, Jay, can you walk a little bit through, you know, I know there's the legal aspect of it, fiscal aspect of it, and its stewardship. Can you just real quickly describe those?
Sure. Legally, as I've mentioned, it's the law. It's the law of the land. Chief Financial Officers Act of 1990, and it's the law that they must pass it. Fiscally, Department of Defense gets a large portion of the nation's budget. So, you know, it's important that the public has confidence in how the department is using the public's funds. And also, as we look at large private organizations,
sure.
public organizations. You know, Google Alphabet has over $90 billion in annual revenues. They pass an audit. Walmart has about $486 billion in annual revenue. They get a clean audit opinion. So the Department of Defense should be able to get a clean audit opinion also. But it's important for us all to recognize the department's focus is to support and defend the United States.
You know?
So that's where the focus has been. But they do have a large portion of the nation's budget. And so they should also be able to pass an audit so that they can show that they're being good stewards of the public's funds.
Right. Well, to pick up on your point, Jay, with regard to the fundamental mission of the Department of Defense to defend the nation, support the warfighter. Richard, how do you see audits relating to readiness and you know that mission actually making sure that the department has what it needs to protect us all?
So as Jay said, readiness is the number one priority. What does readiness mean? It means that every soldier, sailor, airman, and marine going into harm's way is properly equipped, properly trained, has the resources they need to accomplish their mission at the least risk. It takes a lot of money to be able to train and equip and get the soldiers where they need to go, get them the supplies. So audits are about figuring out where your money is. You know, how are you spending your money? Are you spending it on the things that are your most important priorities? And just as important, are you able to keep track of how you're spending that money so you know what money you haven't spent that you can spend on your next set of priorities?
Right. And the department historically has kind of always been a challenge there. It's such a big place. Is that fair to say?
I think it's been a challenge. It is complex. As a simple example, what happens is if the department goes to buy something, it's essentially going to write a check for it, right? It's going to incur an obligation. And then that obligation has to clear like your check would have to clear the bank before you can take that money. And if what you bought doesn't cost as much as you think, then you have some money left over. Well, the DoD financial system is a bit more complex than a checking account. So what happens if there's any kind of human error or machine error in the process, money gets set off to the side that you can't spend. Often that money doesn't get cleared up until after the fiscal year when you've lost your authority to spend it. So the audit's about helping you understand why you're losing track of money that's not getting spent, how you can improve your operations so that you get all the money that Congress has given you to spend on things like readiness that are important to you in the time that you need it.
Right. So when you describe that, I think about the different accounts and O&M versus R&D money and how having to manage that through the audit process, but also through the financial system. So I ask Rob, talk a little bit about the financial systems and the roles that those systems play in the audit process and just fundamentally supporting the department.
Yeah, when you look at the financial systems, they of course play a critical role in terms of understanding where these transactions take place and having them roll up effectively into an auditable financial statement. When you start to look at the statements that are being audited, you begin to see why these non-financial or functional processes and systems become so important. And one I'd point out is the balance sheet. So the balance sheet, of course, is assets, liabilities, which the DoD is especially taking a lot of interest in over recent years. So when you think about a family's balance statement, so to speak, you think about their checking account, savings account, retirement,
sure,
as well
sure.
as the liabilities. So the DoD has a lot of assets, fighter jets, aircraft carriers, tanks, real property, et cetera. So they have to account for what they have, where it is, and how much it's worth. So that's why this brings in all of the non-financial or functional communities and the systems that they use to buy and distribute goods, which means that the audit really touches everyone conducting business within the department, and which is why these audits are important to everyone.
Well, and I'm just going to throw this out there. So when you think about what's going on at the department now, you know, the support functions, whether it's DHA, DLA, whatever, there's a lot of focus on investing in now in our weapons and platforms and capabilities and lethality, as you described it, Richard. Can you just quickly, what's the power of the audit process to support that? For example, are there issues like if you have duplication in a particular geographical area, different services doing, does that provide insight where you may be able to leverage shared services models, that type of thing, to get money, to squeeze money out of the budget to pay for war fighting?
The answer is yes. And the department does that now, but with, let's say, more accurate, timely financial statements that the both the department and Congress can depend on, there will be better confidence as the department is asking for that sharing of services and being able to transfer funds from one account to the other. Congress will have much better confidence in that, and so I think they'd be more likely to allow the department to make some of those changes.
Right. Well, guys, we're already up on the break. When you come back, we'll continue this conversation. We'll focus on that, continuing that thought, pulling that string about leveraging the audit process and the collaborative work across the department to, first of all, get that clean audit and eventually, right, but also help better manage the organization as a whole. My guests today are from Booz Allen Hamilton. We're talking about DOD, and why it's audited, and the goals of the audit process. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guests are from Booz Allen Hamilton, and we're talking about audits in the Department of Defense. We have Jay Daw. Jay is a vice president. He leads Booz Allen Hamilton's business sector focused on headquarters and military operations for the Army. We have Richard Ressler. He is a principal also working with the Army business, focusing on the headquarters and with an emphasis on strategy, resources, and programs. And Rob Stevens. Rob is also a principal at Booz Allen Hamilton, focusing on Navy business operations. And guys, when we took the break, Jay, you talked a little bit about what audits can and can't do. So I wanted to pick up on that and just talk about what does it mean to leverage audits, leveraging the audit process for the department.
Well, sure. First, it's important to know that these audits aren't a one-time event. It's not something we've been getting ready for 20 years, and now they're going to do it, and then they'll be done. They don't need to worry about it anymore. These are going to be annual events that the department's going to have to undergo. Every service, organizations within the services are going to have to undergo. So leaders in these organizations are not going to be able to outlast the auditors. The auditors are there. They're going to be coming back. And it's important that whatever the findings and recommendations are, things are fixed, and that they're fixed to be sustained and to stay fixed so they don't have the same problems again. And to that end, once they're fixed, you know, so what? Why should they fix it? It's so that with the statements that come out of the audits give commanders, staff officers, good information that can be used to make decisions, and also to be able to show that they're using the nation's funds in the best way, most efficient and effective way possible. So I think it's important for them all to understand that the information in these financial statements are there for them to make better decisions. So
right, they become a tool for them in making decisions about what should be prioritized and what should not.
Yes.
Right, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So Richard, can you talk a little bit more about how leaders get engaged in the audit process?
Yeah, I think to Jay's point, it's more than just the financial community leaders. It's anyone in the department who's making decisions around money. And not just, you know, most organizations have a budget. If you're in charge of that organization, you're the leader, you have a role to play in the audit. If you're making decisions about sending equipment somewhere, you're making decisions that are going to affect the balance sheet. In addition to the leaders, there's also other players in the audit. So you have the actual auditor. So those are the independent public accounting firms that come in and, you know, are the experts on the standards for audit. You have the folks at most of the organizations in their headquarters. They've hired somebody to kind of help them manage the audit and get the auditors where they need to be, that function. And then the key work is really done by the folks who are fixing the findings that are coming through. So leaders are sitting there. They have to understand where they sit in that process and how their organization is prepared to help the auditors, and more importantly, have a strategy for how to take those findings and turn it into something, as Jay said, is sustainable, so they're able to get more resources over time.
Right, and is one of the keys too that it's understandable for when people are looking at it is because you know, during one of the breaks you mentioned the term standards, and that's things get standardized. Is that one of the key across an enterprise as big as the department that people are speaking the same language when you're doing the audits? Because you can do it different ways, right?
I think, and Rob can elaborate on this, it's both getting standards in the processes that you're using and getting standards in the system. So when you're trying to, going back to that checkbook example, match transactions from one system to another, from one service to another, you're getting consistent information so you're communicating properly with both internally the DOD and also with the Congress and the American people.
So the result of the audit, you have findings, you end up with findings and recommendations, right?
Right.
So Rob, I'm going to turn to you now and
yes,
talk a little about, you know, how does one respond to those? What is done to try to address the findings and the recommendations?
Mm-hmm. So when the findings and recommendations come out, the organizations will develop corrective action plans to correct those things that are found in the audit. And those will have a variety of pieces to it along the lines of people, processes, technology, et cetera. There'll be a lot of systems-oriented ones. There'll be both financial-type findings and recommendations as well as non-financial ones. So we talk about basic blocking and tackling around processes, procedures, the standardization that you talked about. That's still, I think, a fundamental challenge for many organizations in terms of executing standard processes throughout their enterprise. So when organizations are looking to fix these things, it's understanding what the problem is and then bringing in the right kinds of folks to fix them. So systems folks, data folks will address those IT types of things. You may need more accounting focus for some of the financial types of findings. But regardless, the fundamental piece is understanding the mission of the organization so you can develop those recommendations and solutions in the context of the organization. So understanding their policies, their processes, how they fit into their sort of larger organization, that understanding will ensure that you are developing things that will have sustained impact, that you're not developing things out of context in terms of where the organization sits.
Right.
And to put this together, I mean, it, from what we've been talking about, it's not going to be one audit. There's going to be 26 audits across the department that are going to go on. And it's going to be looking at not only the comptroller's realm of just the technical financial statements. They're going to be looking in the functional arenas of places like personnel programs, logistics programs, medical programs, and then in the operating organizations, you know, in those tactical, operational, strategic, operational programs, and there's going to be findings and recommendations across the board. And that's why it's going to be so important that all of the leaders and senior staff officers in the department are part of this and own it, because they're going to be responsible for making these fixes that have to be sustained. And it cannot succeed if all of these findings and recommendations wind up in the comptroller's box and he or she feels they have to fix it. It's got to be a team sport, and that will be different than what the approach has been in the past.
So how do you get people invested in that? Does it become part of their performance plans? Or
I think it'll become that is something that the department's dealing with now, and I think, yes, it's that and others. They, first of all, the auditors are going to show up in their organizations. They're not going to just show up in the financial office. They're going to show up across the organizations, and those commanders and those key staff officers are going to realize that they're the ones that have to make the fixes. And from everything I understand, they will be held accountable. So and that will be a change from.
So I'm trying to visualize, Jay. I'm trying to visualize this. So there's 26 different audits being done across the department. And do they flow up? So, for example, if the goal is to eventually have a clean audit, right? That's an overarching conclusion. Do these things flow up? Are they independent audits that?
Well, each of the
I'm trying to visualize the organizational structure. So all the Army has like 10 audits going on within this organization. Do they go up to the Secretary of the Army, at that level, and he reviews all those, and then it goes to OSD?
There'll be audits within the services, and those will roll up, and of course the Secretary and the other senior leaders will be seeing those. And then it won't be a consolidated audit finding at the Department of Defense. There will be separate service audits, separate agency audits within, like, for example, there have been a couple of successful audits so far. The Corps of Engineers has had a successful audit. So, these different organizations will have audits, they'll have their results, and then we will be hearing and reading about those at the Department of Defense and the service levels.
Right. So we have about a minute left. So it strikes me when you describe that, and I just think about the department itself, and you mentioned at the beginning of the show, like Walmart and Google had clean audits, but they also don't, defend the nation.
Right.
They don't have the complexity of the organization in and of itself. It seems to such a monumental challenge. So to the extent that the department's getting to the point where it can be audible now is a huge first not necessarily a first step, but a huge step along that line. Is that?
That is exactly right. And the end of this year, the Department of Defense, nor the Air Force, Navy, Army, they're not going to have a clean audit. And all of the leaders understand that. This is going to be a progressive step. And each of the services and the department, they're learning organizations. They'll learn from it, they'll fix, and then they'll get better as they move along.
So a follow-up question to that is like, so do you feel like, is there a sense that the stakeholders involved here, so they're not going to have clean audits? Like, you know, you wouldn't expect that. I mean, to be right. Does Congress understand that? Is there a sense that, yeah, they're making process along the way?
Yeah, I'd say I think everyone is aware that this is a multi-year endeavor. When you look at what will define success, I think it's around demonstrating progress. And that, I think, is what's coming from the top. Are we making progress? Are we holding those accountable to make progress? And it will carry forward.
Right. And it's a long slog. And we're already up at the break. My guests today are from Booz Allen Hamilton, Jay Dodd. He is a vice president at Booz Allen Hamilton, Richard Ressler, a principal, and Rob Stevens, who is also a principal there. And we're going to continue this conversation when we come back. Talk a little bit about, synchronizing, whatever that means, the audit process. I guess I know the definition of that word just as a layperson, but what does it mean in the audit process, and what does it need for with regard to remediation sustainment? You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guests are from Booz Allen Hamilton. We have Jay Dodd. Jay is a vice president leading Booz Allen Hamilton's Army business operations. We also have, for this segment, Elizabeth Robinson. She is a senior associate leading Booz Allen's support to the Army as well in the areas of financial management and audit readiness. And Mike Frindell. Mike is a senior associate. He is leading Booz Allen support of multiple Navy organizations focusing also on financial improvement and audit readiness. And so, guys, this segment, we started to talk about a little bit last segment with regard to the audit process, synchronizing audits, or what does that mean? I was a layperson. I don't have any idea what that means. So I'm going to start with you, Jay, and just talk about why synchronize and what is it?
Sure. Well, first, we know that the Department of Defense is a large, complex organization. And earlier in the segment, we talked about the new Undersecretary of Defense Comptroller for the department is Secretary Norquist. And he's quoted as saying, complexity isn't a reason to not begin an audit. It's the reason that we should begin. So in order to get the maximum benefit out of the audits, to improve organizational performance and readiness, we think of three sets of activities as part of the synchronization that need to be included in the strategy. These are audit response, audit remediation, and most importantly, audit sustainment, which we'd like to talk about. These activities cross the annual cycle of the audits, and they enable the department to synchronize the activities to those so that the auditors and those being audited will be able to stay focused on the department's mission.
Right. So, okay. So let's start unpacking that a little bit. So Mike, what is an audit response?
Sure. So, we've talked about the department has been on the readiness path for some time now. And over the last few years, they really pivoted towards more of a audit response posture. And what that really means, and you can imagine, given the scale and the complexity of the Department of Defense business, geographic operations, decentralized business operations, it really requires some very precise business processes and infrastructure to coordinate all of those different layers of the business to be able to provide the right level of evidence to meet the requirements of the external auditor. And that's something that has, really grown in importance over the last couple of years in particular, as a lot of the services have continued to increase the scope of their audit. And it's something that we're supporting a number of clients with through now and supporting them continue to scale that infrastructure, communication protocols, business processes, so they can answer the requests of the auditor in a timely manner. That's something that's very different from a lot of the readiness activities, and it's something that is really stressing a lot of the organizations currently.
So, and you guys help with all these aspects of it, like the audit response? Is that the role that Booz Allen?
Yes, we do. We support a number of our clients and have been for some time, and really supporting, as I mentioned, helping them kind of pivot from readiness to response and build the organizational underlying business processes, infrastructure, communication protocols to be able to, you know, essentially rally the troops across the organization to be able to provide all the substantiating documentation that's required when you undergo a full financial statement audit. And that, includes data, process documentation, underlying transaction detail, but it also requires, supporting the auditors actually out in the field as they do some of their site visits, to include walking flight lines, looking at magazines, counting inventory, ordnance, those types of things. So it really includes coordination across the entire functional community as well.
Right. So that's the steps that go into an audit response.
Correct.
And how you then support. So, Jay, what is audit remediation?
Well, first I'll say that audit response is...
Am I getting ahead of myself?
No,
Jay?
No, not at all.
That's okay.
The audit response, that's the short-term surge activity, whereas audit remediation activities are longer-term activities, and they help the organizations analyze the findings and recommendations, then develop corrective action plans. And given the full range of findings and recommendations that there may be, and given the complexity of these, it's important to understand the mission that's associated with the findings that have to be addressed. And that's why earlier I said it's important to have the operators and those key staff functional leaders involved. Because once the auditors, they do the audit, they make the findings, now it's going to be the experts that understand how to deal with these detailed functional findings in order to fix the underlying factors and then make the fix so that there's sustainment, so that the fixes will stay and be carried on going forward.
Elizabeth, can you talk a little bit? I mean, this is perfect, Jay. You're helping me out. I mean, just that segue, that was perfect transition. So I can ask Elizabeth about audit sustainment. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. Audit sustainment's continuous across the whole life cycle. It's really about taking the lessons learned to build the organizational maturity across a wide array of management and technical areas. So really taking those lessons from the NFRs and the CAPs and kind of changing your business processes and systems so that you don't see those over and over again. It's really key to do this throughout so that you can reduce the level of effort required in future audits. A lot of it can be around change management, knowledge management, workforce development and training, making sure that you're getting your staff trained so they have the confidence to respond to the audits, refining those internal controls and any change management process. We found incorporating change management processes really helps solidify these changes and getting them out to the field. It's about collaborating across all the organizations. We mentioned before, it's not just the financial team that needs to be ready, but your other teams as well. So collaborating, getting those lessons learned out there in a written format. And really, as we mentioned before, it's about the commander and leader level, really creating and refining that culture to make it a sustainable culture instead of responding. We often find ourselves, preparing for an inspection or an audit. We're in this, it's having them to always be ready, always be doing the right thing as we implement those changes. So it really helps with that readiness for the mission.
Okay. Mike, I wanted to ask you about R2S and Booz Allen's implementation. First of all, what is R2S?
Sure.
And what are you guys at Booz Allen
Hamilton
doing?
So we kind of just walk through the different elements there. So it's the audit response, the remediation, and obviously the sustainment component of that. And we have supported many clients across services, across each one of these different areas. We've been really at the forefront in a lot of ways of helping organizations stand up and mature their audit response capabilities. We've got a tremendous footprint across different services and different pockets, supporting with a lot of the remediation. And really, our focus and approach from that perspective is, as you, of course, need the auditor lens, but it's also important as you listen to the things Elizabeth, described from a sustainment and remediation perspective. It really requires a deep understanding of the organization, the underlying functional business processes, and those types of things to be able to support these entities, really correct what are, quite frankly, longstanding chronic issues that have been on the books for some time. And then obviously leading into sustainment in terms of building the culture and the capabilities required to really bake it into the underlying fabric of the organization. I mean, right now, audit readiness is something that, is seen as kind of in many cases a task, or it's a requirement But really success will come when it's just a part of day-to-day operations. It's about doing business on the front end the right way, which leads to the timely, accurate financial information, and the clean audit opinion will really be a byproduct of, right, of doing business right.
So for successful R2S, it seems to me, in your support of it, it's described to me, it seems to me that there's a unique, you have to bring unique capabilities to the table. It's not just being a CPA, but you also actually have to understand how the Department of Defense works. You have to be able to speak the same language and provide all that capabilities. And is that part of your overall, that's your value add, is correct, as an organization?
That is exactly what we think our value add is. I mean, as we've said, it's so important that the audits be done. And that's the first step, you know, where the auditors bring their great expertise to do the audit and identify what the findings and what those recommendations are. But then it's experts, subject matter experts, in the areas of logistics, medical, personnel, operations that I talked about. So as we're implementing these findings, as the department and the services are implementing these findings, they're aligned with the strategy and the governance mechanisms that are being set up, that have to be set up in order for that there to be successful audits. So it all works together, and that's what we're seeing the department's doing is establishing that governance mechanism now. The audits will be done, the findings and recommendations will be provided, and then the organizations with all of the players involved will be making those fixes and sustaining those fixes as they move towards that clean audit opinion.
Okay. Well, we're up on the break. My guests today are from Booz Allen Hamilton, Jay Dodd, a vice president, Elizabeth Robinson, who is a senior associate focusing on the Army, and Mike Frendell, who is a senior associate focusing on Navy business operations. And when we come back, we'll finish up our conversation of the role of audits and the benefits they provide in supporting the warfighter and the department's mission of protecting the nation. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guests are from Booz Allen Hamilton. This segment, we have Jay Dodd once again. He is vice president leading Booz Allen's Army business sector. We have Richard Ressler. He's come back for this segment. He's a principal leading Booz Allen Hamilton's Army-focused business on process improvement and audit readiness resources program capabilities. And we also have, again, Rob Stevens. Rob is principal leading Booz Allen Hamilton's business focus on financial improvement and audit for the Navy. Okay, guys, so first of all, I have to confess to you, I learned a new acronym in this show, the R2S. That was a new one for me. Okay, the response, remediation, sustainment, and the audit process. And we went through it in detail in the last segment. So I just wanted to finish that conversation a little bit. And Richard, I talked to you about, so what are the benefits of that process for a customer such as the Department of Defense?
I think they're both short-term and long-term benefits. The short-term benefit of beginning to fix these things and getting into the standards is that you're going to reduce the amount of errors you have in your financial transactions. Fewer financial errors means there's less work to clean up the error, so you're saving some manpower dollars right there. The second is you're also beginning to reconcile unmatched transactions. We've done things with clients where, for example, in a year they were able to recover $11 million. That's money that previously they would have lost at the end of the fiscal year. So that's $11 million more dollars to contribute to readiness. The long-term implication is, since, as Jay mentioned, the audits are perpetual, they're not going away, you want to sustain your processes so they become part of your normal business operations. A good audit means that you're executing efficiently and effectively in your normal everyday processes. So every leader is going to be charged. I mean, no leader comes in an organization and says, gee, I want to make my organization worse. No, they want to improve performance.
Sure.
So audits are a way, and when we talk about leveraging the audit, that say, hey, you got a great tool here the department's giving you. You know, it's a different way of looking at the coin to improve the performance of your organization and reap those benefits from being able to spend your money more effectively.
Right. So the audits are a fundamental tool in, you know, supporting ultimately the department's mission, the readiness and all that thing. Is that right, Jay?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, it's important for everyone to know that readiness is the number one priority for the Department of Defense. It is, has been, and will continue to be. As recently as the 5th of October last month, the Secretary of Defense outlined three main areas of effort for the department. And the very first one was restoring military readiness as we build a more lethal force. And not surprisingly, each of the services, their number one priority is readiness to be able to defend the nation. So, you know, it's important that with readiness as that priority, that the leaders have the best information they can about how they're spending the funds that the Congress provides right. to them, and that there's confidence both within the department, in Congress, and the nation of what the department's doing with those funds.
Right. So, it would not be my show if I didn't bring up procurement. Okay, as someone who's worked in that field for the last 30 years, I'm starting to age myself. So I wanted to ask Rob about the procurement community. You know, we've had the emphasis in the show, Richard and Jay, you've both emphasized the importance of leaders across the organization being involved. So can you talk a little bit, Rob, about the acquisition procurement community and where it fits in the audit process?
Yeah, this community is extremely important in terms of being aligned to DOD's strategy as it relates to audit readiness. When you think about the acquisition community's involvement in procuring, maintaining, operating all kinds of services, goods, et cetera, they play a significant role. Back in 2015, DOD obligated more money than all the other federal government agencies combined, which makes for a lot to deal with when it comes to financial transactions and the things that go into an auditable financial statement.
Right. So what should the procurement community be thinking about with regard to the audit?
Yeah, I think there's probably three things that the community can do to support the audit readiness challenges. One is to incorporate auditability requirements into new contracts, specifically those related to new property, plants, and equipment. So the standards out there specify the kinds of records that need to be maintained to track costs, et cetera, in terms of maintaining equipment as well as the disposition of them. So contracts should ensure that the contractors are required to support keeping these records to support auditability. The second one, I would say, would be to consider adding scope for audit-related actions, things around response, remediation, and sustainment into the professional services or IT support contracts. When you think about the audits producing these NFRs and therefore corrective action plans, giving organizations the agility to be able to address those findings will be important. So if you've got it built in to these contracts, so they can easily turn to.
Right. So are you talking about the idea that if it's within the scope of the contract, you can task the contractor, you being the department, to help you respond with a remediation plan or the sustainment aspect of it? Is that
exactly? And it provides for a timely response in terms of addressing these things rather than waiting through and going through an acquisition cycle. And the final sort of recommendation is recognizing the difference in sort of corporate and individual qualifications necessary to support this this challenge. So when you think about the pure, you know, audit types in terms of the IPA firms, of course, positioned to do that work. But when you think about what comes out of the audit and the kinds of firms that you might need to help address these right, findings, it's right. a broad range. Those that are focused more on systems or consulting or mission support. Combining that with some accounting type support gives you, again, more flexibility
right.
to address
it's like an integrated approach to, you know, responding to the audits.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Richard, I'm going to ask you, so the, you know, as we've heard today, the audits are ongoing right now. There's the audit readiness, you know, threshold or milestones coming up. So what's next for the department?
I think there's a lot of learning. The department's learned a lot already. They've been building strategies, they've been building plans, but you can go back to strategists over the last 100 years, and you know, even Eisenhower, you know, plans mean nothing, planning is everything. So the department's built some flexibility in their plans, because the key about audits is they often teach you what you didn't expect, right? It's the they're going to uncover things that you didn't think they were going to be looking at, especially in the non-financial management community. Commanders out there going, why are they even on my doorstep? Oh, what? I got NFRs all of a sudden. So there's going to be a lot of learning at the leader level and at the workforce level to realize what it's really going to take to pass an audit inside the Department of Defense.
Okay, so, and we have about 1 minute left. So, Jay, I'm going to give you the last word. Can you just, what's the, your just sort of final message takeaway when you talk about, you know, you've mentioned the DOD comptroller. DOD is a hugely complex place, a huge place and a complex place. And Richard just, you know, just is a great point, the idea that you're going to find out unexpected things from the auto process. So what's your, you know, your final takeaway when you look into this challenge?
Sure, just a couple of things. As we've talked about, the upcoming audits are a watershed event for the department. That the leaders in the department have been getting ready for this for a long time. Now the audits are coming. And it's important that these leaders recognize that doing well on the audits, learning from the audit, improving and using those to help inform readiness and business reform are key priorities for the Secretary of Defense, and that all leaders are going to be held accountable for being involved with this. In summary, as the department is embarking on a multi-year journey towards a clean opinion, it's going to involve all the leaders, not just the leaders in the financial community, as we've said several times. And leveraging these audits through what we've talked about, response, remediation, and sustainment, can only enhance DOD's culture, develop its workforce, and help its organizations to improve performance and increase DOD readiness.
But I can't resist asking one final question, a follow-up to the concluding question, and the importance of understanding. And what I mean by that, understanding that this is a process and that it, warts and all, it can't turn into a gotcha process, mm-hmm. right? And unless, obviously, if there's financial crime or something, that's a gotcha. But, you know, it's a collaborative process that all stakeholders got to understand, that you shouldn't use it necessarily to beat people over the head. The goal is overall improvement.
Absolutely. And I think that's the direction the department's going. The few times I've heard Secretary Norquist talk, I think that's his approach to this. Have several small findings. When I say that there are going to be a lot of findings, but instead right. of having complex findings that the leaders can't get their arms around on what to do to fix, his focus is more and smaller, let's say, right. findings that the leaders can get their arms around, they can fix things, and then they can ensure that the fixes are sustained. Right. And then year to year, we'll see improvement.
Right. Well, I want to thank my guests today from Booz Allen Hamilton, Jay Dodd, Richard Ressler, Rob Stevens, Elizabeth Robinson, and Mike Frendell. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.